Hello and welcome to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Charlene Bala-Lucas. As always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you and to bring you the fourth season of this podcast, focusing on mental health and well-being. In this, the third part of the season, we're focusing on Mental Health Awareness Month in May, and I have the pleasure of speaking to only men from all walks of life about their mental health. Our lineup of guests include mindfulness facilitators, musicians, dancers, photographers, psychologists, entrepreneurs, and student leaders, all of whom will inspire, inform, entertain, and motivate you. So do stay with me for the next hour as we talk about mental health and mindfulness, play some music, and meditate together. My first guest today is a counseling psychologist, an international certified addiction professional, and a recovery coach. He currently works in a rehabilitation facility. He is also a recovering addict himself, having just turned 4 years sober last month. From his personal experiences, he has developed a passion in this area. He feels at home working with people struggling with mental health issues and addiction. As a father and husband, his values include dedication, commitment, and honesty. He describes himself as kind, passionate, and jovial. Japheth Murimi Githinji, otherwise known as Jeff. Welcome to Mindfulness Music and More.
Thank you.
Jeff, I want to talk predominantly about your journey from alcohol addiction to sobriety. When did you realize you had a problem with alcohol, but also, I believe, with other substances? Is that correct?
Yes, I used to abuse alcohol, marijuana, cut, tobacco products, and tin. If I be very honest, I didn't usually see a problem, but the people around me always said there's something wrong with you, but I was always in denial.
How old were you when you first started abusing this? So when did you have your first drink?
I had my first drink when I was 9 years old.
9 years old?
Yes. My father drinks.
Okay.
So, ile ya kuonja, you're told, have a sip.
Yeah.
And I remember at some point I could have whole bottles by myself. Yes.
A whole bottle of beer, for example.
Yes.
And you were 9 years old.
9 years old.
And do you have siblings?
Yes, I have a sister.
Did she go through that same journey as well with alcohol?
I wouldn't want to share that.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. Yes. So you were 9 years old, you had your first alcohol. Then when did you start abusing other things, like you said, marijuana?
Yes, I started abusing marijuana when I was 13 years old, form two. And cigarettes, actually, it was the same day. Because after I smoked marijuana, a friend of mine told me I had to smoke a cigarette to make the smell of marijuana go away. And I started chewing Mira at 16.
Wow.
And I started popping the pills, the Atin, at 22.
So you were like on this cocktail of alcohol and drugs.
Yes.
And you didn't realize you had a problem.
Yes.
But people around you did.
Yes.
I'm assuming you were in a relationship because you're a father and a husband. Did your wife realize you had a problem?
Actually, I met my wife after I became sober.
Okay, all right. Let's backtrack then. So who was telling you have a problem and you weren't listening?
The people around me.
Okay.
At that particular time, I had a girlfriend.
Okay.
Who was also an addict.
Okay.
But I guess mine was worse than hers. And my mother used to cry a lot, begging me, wondering where the problem is. My father had he was very stressed. He tried to talk to me, but...
Was he an addict, having been drinking? You said he drank a lot. Do you feel, looking back, that he was addicted to alcohol?
That's tough to say, but he has been able to manage himself.
Okay.
He does his things. He takes care of us. But looking at me, I wasn't even able to finish school. I was malnourished. At some point, because I was not living at home all the time. I was living where my college was. I come from Kirinyaga, but I used to live in Nairobi. And he used to send rent money and pocket money. But I used to drink rent money, pocket money, to a point that I'm homeless
in
Nairobi. But at home, people think I'm doing quite well.
Okay, so you were hiding it.
Yes.
Okay, how old were you when you realized you had a problem, and what was your turning point?
My turning point, I was 24 years old.
Okay, how old are you now? You're 28.
I'm 28. Okay. And through a series of interventions by my family, I was tricked into a rehab center.
You were tricked into?
Yes, I was tricked.
Okay.
It was not out of my will. It was not voluntary.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's hard, because if it's not voluntary, you're not ready to heal. So how did you stay in the rehab?
Yes, I stayed because I had no choice. I had no money. I had no clothes. In fact, when I was admitted in the rehab, they had to buy me new clothes, including boxers, towels, slippers.
Everything.
Everything. I didn't even have an ID. I had lost my ID for like 4 years and hadn't even tried to replace it. So I was at a point of, there's nothing I can do.
So you had to stay in rehab?
I had to stay in rehab.
What happened in rehab? Life-changing thing happened?
So what really happened, I was very skinny, I was very thin. I was in fact 49 kilos by that time. Now I'm 70. I want to put you into perspective. And
49 kilos for a guy your height is nothing.
Yes, I used to walk bent over because I couldn't stand up straight. My lips were burnt, they were all red. My cheekbones were really the I would say were very visible.
Mm-hmm.
So after 3 weeks or so, I realized my thighs had come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started asking myself, so I can have thighs.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I noticed. Then in a month, I had gained like 6 kilos. I was 55 kilos and I was like, this looks good. Then the doctor who had done my vitals, when the results of my vitals came out, they were really, really bad compared to what normal results should look like. And I got scared and I was like, I was dying.
You were killing yourself, basically.
Yes. My kidney was almost failing. My liver function test was disastrous.
And you're 24 years old.
I was 24.
So you had recovery in rehab. What was that like?
It was hard. It was hard. But I met a friend there who was my drinking buddy. It was a coincidence. And
also in rehab.
Yes. By the time I went to rehab, I had actually missed him for like 1 month, and we used to ask ourselves, where did so-and-so go? Only to find him in rehab.
Okay.
And he really encouraged me, and he played a big role in, you know, showing me that we were not living a good life. We had let the society and our parents down, and we really needed to change.
And what kind of things did you do in rehab to change?
I did a lot of exercise.
Okay.
We did a lot of group therapy.
Yeah.
And individual therapy. And eating a lot of food and drinking a lot of water.
And therapy obviously was a big part of your recovery.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm intrigued to know where life has taken you now, but we'll do that after a few songs, starting with your song choice, which is Drops of Jupiter by Train. Why have you chosen that song?
I'm a very poetic person, and the first time I listened to that song, I was like, wow, the poetry, the imagery in that song was awesome. And then I did the research on the song. The writer of the song wrote it after the mother died, so it's a good song to remember those who have passed on from our lives.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head. She acts like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's a time to change. Since the return of her stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June. Hey, 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 hey. But tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded and that heaven is overrated? Tell me, did you fall from a shooting star? One without a permanent scar, and then you miss me while you were looking for yourself out there. Now that she's back from that soul vacation, tracing her way through the constellation, hey, hey. She checks out most of what she does. Chapo reminds me that there's room to grow, hey, hey, hey. Now that she's back in the atmosphere, I'm afraid
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Charlene Bala-Lucas. My second guest today is a Nairobi-based filmmaker and photographer with over 7 years' experience in the industry. He completed his diploma in Oracle Database Administration and immediately immersed himself in the world of TV production and photography. This has seen him either act, boom swing, shoot, direct, edit, and do voice-over scripting for a number of top local productions. As a recovering alcoholic, he is also a loving father, a follower of Christ, and a lover of art in all forms, especially musical art. He describes himself as friendly, creative, and passionate. Brevik Mugweru, welcome to Mindfulness Music and More.
Thank you so much, Shalini, for having me here.
Ravik, when you wrote to me, you said that you recently made a decision to quit drinking after years of hurt and destruction to those around you mm-hmm. and yourself as well.
Yes.
To a point where you almost lost all focus on reality, on your dreams. Tell me about your journey from alcoholism to sobriety. When did you realize you had a problem?
Well, when I realized I had a problem was, I think, having a conversation during a conversation with friends, and it was an honest friend who came up to me, and you know, during this drinking episodes, there are times when you don't even remember what you did the previous day, and this friend just came up to me and pulled me aside and just told me that during our fun times last night, you sort of just started breaking down and you were opening up about so much personal stuff. And I think you shouldn't be taking it to the drink and take it to someone instead.
So you were turning to drink to deal with your personal life?
Yes.
Okay, how old are you, Breivik?
I'm 32.
When did you have your first drink? Do you remember?
It was probably around 18.
When you were 18?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you drink steadily from the age of 18 onwards?
Yes, I drank steadily, but when I got to around 19, 20, that's when I started getting jobs. I started working with the IABC, and that kept me busy for a while.
Yeah.
But then again, when I stopped working, I'd go back to drinking, and all the money that I'd made during these jobs would go back to the bars and the liquor stores.
Okay, did you, like Jeff, did you abuse any other substances, or was it alcohol?
Well, at the time, it was mostly alcohol.
Okay.
I had a bit of marijuana, but it was on and off.
Okay.
Alcohol was the steady. Yeah, it was the constant substance at the time.
Okay, and were you married at this time or in a relationship whilst you were drinking?
I got into a serious relationship when I was about 27.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was I had already gotten into this alcohol problem when okay. I was getting into this. So transitioning from hanging out with the boys to now sort of being a family man and taking on this responsibility, that transition wasn't smooth. But when I was getting into this relationship, I was already having this problem.
Did she realize it?
Yeah, she did. And not to say so much about, not to speak on her behalf so much, but I would like to thank her so much, because she brought this to the light and actually opened my eyes to the fact that I have a problem.
So she was the one, but your friend also sat you down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you accept it straight away that you had a problem, or were you defensive to begin with?
Well, I was very defensive. I kept telling people that I know my reasons for drinking. I can handle my drink. It's not like I wake up in the morning and I'm trembling. It's not like I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm looking for a drink underneath my bed. I mean, I have it all together.
Okay, so you were in denial.
I was in denial.
So what changed? When did you realize? And what is it? What is a problem with alcohol? You've just described, okay, I didn't go looking for my next drink, or you weren't trembling.
Mm-hmm.
But you did have a problem. How did your problem manifest?
Well, my problem manifested when I'm in conflict, when I'm in a really tough situation, instead of facing it head on and trying to find a solution, I would sort of just take it as a reason to go drink and an excuse to sort of procrastinate or push forward that solving the problem. So I would go drink first, and then when I'm trying to sober up, think about the solution. If it's wearing me down, go drink some more.
Okay, yeah. So drink was on top of drink on top of drink.
Yes.
When did you stop drinking?
I stopped drinking on the 28th of June, 2021.
Last year, not even a year.
Not even a year.
What has this year been like?
Well, it's been beautiful, mostly, because I'm starting to rediscover the things that I used to love. I'm starting to rediscover and find myself again, because one of the things that alcohol robs you of is your sense of being, who you are, your dreams, and just even your physical awareness. You're not even as physically fit as you would have been before you started drinking. So I've taken up things like cycling, So it's been an amazing year so far.
It's very interesting because you are two young men here in the studio today talking about alcohol addiction. And are you finding, Brevik, are you finding more and more young people are struggling with alcohol here in Kenya? In your peer group, I would say.
Yes. It's largely unspoken, but it's obvious that so many people are going through it. And people will hide it. People will hide in because most of the occasions where you'll find people drinking are celebratory occasions, or maybe at the bar. People will hide in a crowd. It's easier to be smiling in a crowd that's having fun and have your drink than go home drunk and start crying in your sheets.
Yeah.
So people don't talk about it, but a lot of people are going through it. And maybe we can discuss more about it based on what I've discovered, because I'm engaging a couple of people as well in the area where I'm staying. And we're just talking about, we're having the sobriety conversation and just creating a safe space where people can come and just have the conversation. Come as you are, no judgment. Let's talk about these things.
To younger people and people of your age.
Yes.
That's incredible. And you're doing this on an informal basis.
Yes.
Okay. What helped you stop? And do you remember your last drink?
I remember my last drink. And it was sort of an... what Kenyans normally say, nikama drama. it was quite an episode.
Okay. Are you able to describe it?
Well, I can paint it out for you. Okay. I had a radio call, because at the time where I was working, we had radio calls, and I had this radio call and I was drunk, and I just wanted to scare other people who were drinking close to us. And so I went and just pressed it, so it made the static sound, and it sounded like an officer was close by. And I sort of mimicked an officer calling for a patrol car to come and arrest the other guys who were drinking. So okay. Everyone dashed out of the bar,
okay.
And they saw me there and they roughed me up. Really, yeah. So that's just opened my eyes to this.
You
thing
were drunk when you were doing that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was the last day I took a drink.
And then you decided.
And then I decided that I'm done.
Did you go cold turkey, or did you go to rehab, or did you just do it on your own?
I did it on my own. It's something I've tried a couple of times before. The times when I went like 4 months sober, and I thought that I had it all. I figured out, and I'd go to a party where they were serving champagne, and I'd think it's been 4 months of being sober. I can handle this. Then I take one glass of champagne. It leads to whiskey, and it goes down from there. So now I just decided, because I have friends who've gone to rehab, and I have one special friend who I am constantly in touch with, who's gone to rehab twice. And the first time he was going to rehab, I was quitting, and he came back 3 months later clean, and I was 3 months clean. Then like 2 weeks later, we were holding each other's hands, and he just went back to drinking again.
So you're saying that once you decide to stop, you have to stop full. You can't have that one glass of champagne or anything like that.
It's very dangerous. Okay. Yeah, you have to completely stay off anything alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a lifelong decision now.
It's a lifelong decision now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Brevik. Tell me what your song choice is and why you've chosen it.
My song choice is Sober by Sauti Sol. And I love this song so much the first time I heard it, because I was on set shooting, and it came on, and every single word in this song spoke about my journey, or something that I'm hoping to achieve in this journey from alcoholism to just recovery. And so many times it's brought me to tears. Every single time I listen to it, it's either reminding me of something I did, or what I'm doing right now, or something I hope to achieve in the future. And it's such a beautiful song for anyone who's going through this journey.
Okay, let's have a listen.
When I get sober, I'll get my act together. I will put my life in order. No longer be a victim of the devil on my shoulder. Lord knows I've been lost for way too
long, I'm getting older. Na move down na yo yo my sister. Call my mama and tell her that I'm sorry for the lies and pain I've caused her. And tell her that I never meant to turn out like my father. Lord knows that she cried too many tears for all my drama. Now I'm bound to some my day. I call my daughter, listen to the stories of a guy that she called father. Hope I get the courage to say sorry to her mother. Lord knows that she tried to make it work. I pray the karma will be easy on me. When I get sober, I look for all my friends. I make amends, I drink more water. Find somebody new to love again. Feels like it's over, but Lord knows that I need another chance to start all over. Na mi sili sirudi kamwe. Get my act together. I will put my life in order. No longer be a victim of the devil on my shoulder. Lord knows I've been lost for way too long. I'm getting older. Now move down now, yo yo, my sister.
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. We have got two men in the studio today, Jeff and Brevik, who have been very open and very honest about their battle of alcoholism. And I just want to say thank you both for opening up, because you just don't know who's going to hear this and be inspired to make that change, that life change. Jeff, you have gone on to work as a recovery counselor, yes?
Addictions counselor.
Addictions counselor. How does that work? How did you come to that? I mean, that is such a turnaround.
Well, first of all, you realize I mentioned earlier I was in college, in university.
Yes.
I was doing economics and finance.
Okay.
Undergrad. But you heard how my life went.
Yes.
Now I'm out of rehab and I'm trying to figure out, do I go back doing economics or do I choose a different path? But at that time I realized I was in real trouble. So my question was, I know people who drink, I know people who smoke, I know people who use drugs. How comes they never turn out like I did turn out? What was so different? So I was looking for answers. I was looking for answers. Why me? Why am I an addict? So I decided to do a course on addiction counseling. At that time, I also had a mentor who was a counseling psychologist, and I wanted to be like him. So I had to do counseling psychology. So actually, I enrolled for the two courses at the same time, back to back, just to learn more about myself. Really, it was about myself.
But in the process...
In the process, in my first semesters for the both courses, I got called in for a real job.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, And I've never felt at home like I felt at that time. And I was like, I'm not even going to that economics. This is what I'll do with my life.
What? Where did you do these courses?
Yes.
Where did you do the courses?
I did the addiction counseling at SAPTA.
Yeah.
It's Kimathi Street.
Okay.
Corner house. And for the counseling psychology, I did it at St. Paul's University.
Okay.
At a branch in Kirinyaga.
And then when did you start actually counseling?
Like I said, I got my first job.
Straight away. Yeah.
Straight away. So it was, I really learned hands-on.
Okay.
On the job. I graduated both courses, 2020. Same year. I was actually really proud. And yeah.
And when did you meet your wife?
Yes, I met my wife when I got that first job.
Okay.
She was also working there.
I wish this was TV because you should see the smile on Jeff's face when he talks about his wife.
Oh my
God. Just lights up. She obviously knows about your story and
yes.
your addiction. Is she very supportive?
She's a counselor.
Okay, got it.
She's been supportive, and after I met her, I really felt, oh wow, she really gets me.
Mm-hmm.
She really gets what I struggle with. I was sharing with Breivik just before we got here how I struggled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And she could really get it. You know, when you tell other people, I'm feeling anxious, they just tell you, stop feeling anxious.
Yeah, they don't understand. Yeah.
Why are you feeling anxious?
Yeah.
But I really felt she really got me, and yeah.
It's a complete turnaround. Jeff, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Breivik about your peer group. Are you finding younger and younger people are struggling with alcohol and drugs?
Even the guys I was with in college. Sad to say that sometimes I wish I could do something.
Mm.
I've lost friends I know.
To alcohol, to
drugs, sometimes via suicide. But it is drugs related.
Why is there this? I mean, I see this as a pandemic in this country. Forget Corona. This is the pandemic, right?
Yes.
Mental health and addictions. Mm-hmm. Why are young people turning to alcohol and drug abuse?
Well, it's one thing, like Breivik shared. There are people who use drugs or alcohol for a long time without getting there. But there are those who, like us, who had a problem with the drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've found out in my career is that these people who get a problem with drugs and alcohol is because of some pain in their childhood or in the past that the alcohol and drugs is numbing.
It's trauma from the
yes.
past. Okay.
Yes.
Is there a fear of the future, would you say, as well?
There's that too.
Okay.
There's that too because you cannot fear the future if you have not had a difficult past.
Mm.
Because
yeah.
our experiences are the ones that dictate how we perceive the world, how we perceive, we see the world through the lenses of our experiences. So if you had some painful experiences you hadn't processed and you put a sip of alcohol, it acts as a painkiller and your brain records it that, oh, we have something that kills our pain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an illusion.
Yeah. That is so true. It's so, so profound. I'm so impressed that you've turned your life around. I'm not impressed, I'm inspired and in awe that you haven't just turned your life around, but you're now using your experiences to help other people in what was your position before. So thank you for doing that. Thank you. Breivik, how does your work inform your journey, I suppose? Are you able to use your, because you're very arty, you enjoy
mm-hmm.
arts, are you able to use your arts in any way to talk further this this conversation about addiction?
Well, I'm in the process of formulating a YouTube series that's gonna tackle these conversations and sort of put it out there and make it normal for people to have the conversations around alcohol addiction. And I'm also partnering up with, I mentioned earlier that a friend came to me and actually inspired this journey that I'm on. This friend is Dedan. He's very close friend I met last year around March, and we've just come together to try and make the community a better place and form a safe space for people who are going through these alcohol addiction problems. And in partnership with a local NGO in Imara Daima called World Concern, we're trying to have a program where people can come in on a weekly basis just to talk about their problems. Anyone who's going through any alcohol-related problems, or you're trying to quit, just come in, let's have this conversation, and be there for each other. And it's guided by the principles of AA.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't have access to AA or yeah. anything like that, especially yeah. if you're not in Nairobi, I would have thought.
Yes.
Okay, thank you guys so much. I'm going to go to your quotes. Jeff, your quote is by Florence Scovel Shin, and the quote is, "No man is your enemy, no man is your friend, every man is your teacher." I love that. Why did you choose that quote?
From the first time I read that quote,
mm-hmm.
It inspired me. I'm all about mindfulness, feeling fulfilled. And in the life we live in, you'd think people are out to harm you. But sometimes it's really not that way. Somebody is going about their business with their pain, and sometimes they project their pain to you. And you, if you have a problem digesting that, you might really view it wrongly. So it's for us to understand other people.
Okay.
To always ask ourselves, what can I learn from my brother? What can I learn from my neighbor? What can I learn from even people who hurt us? There's something we can learn from that.
It's a very powerful quote. I love how it's resonated with you. Thank you. Brevik, mm-hmm. yours is by a very, very, very famous woman,
mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
And she says, "I have lots of things to prove to myself. One is that I can live fearlessly."
Yes.
Why did this resonate with you?
This resonated with me because even looking at the heights that Oprah has reached, in the same space that I am trying to get into and cement my status in, which is TV and film, I think what led me mostly to that drink oftentimes was fear.
Mm.
Fear of not achieving my dreams, or fear of the consequences of something I was supposed to deal with. And I think overcoming fear leads us to our ultimate success, if I may say so.
It's a very profound quote, especially as you say, fear-based. And Jeff, you talked about the fear as well. And when you look at Oprah's background, she came mm-hmm. from a very poor background,
yes.
and an abusive background. I think she was raped. And so mm-hmm. it's really interesting that she talks about living fearlessly.
Yes.
And I think, as you have both said, alcohol numbs fear. It numbs the thoughts. So, yeah, very profound. Thank you. Jeff, I'm going to cast you away to a desert island for a little while, because it sounds like you've been working very hard. If there was one book you could take with you, what would it be and why?
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Yeah, why?
The book talks about a young boy. He was a shepherd who had these dreams of going to the Egyptian pyramids, and he took the steps. But the book is really about the journey, not the destination. The lessons you learn from the journey. So the journey is as important as the destination.
Okay.
So on my way to recovery, there's what I want to achieve.
Yeah.
But then there are these day-to-day experiences that I have to learn from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. The Alchemist is, after the Bible and the Quran, the most chosen book on this show. So it's a very, very popular book. And then you have a great song. What's the song choice?
Bob Marley.
Uh-huh.
Redemption song.
Of course. Why have you chosen it?
Really, like what Nelson Mandela said, you can be in jail, but don't enslave your mind. Yes, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. That's what Bob Marley said, and that says it all.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And finally, if there was one luxury item you could take with you, what would it be?
Spotify.
I think that's cheating, because that means you have all the songs, but that's fine. I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you choose Spotify?
In my recovery journey, music has really played a big role. And when I'm by myself, with myself, having a good time with myself, it's hard to do that without music.
Yeah, music is very nourishing. Yes. Okay, there you go. Let's have a listen to the song by Bob Marley, Redemption Song.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever have, redemption songs. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Charlene Bala-Lucas. And today we're talking about the journey from alcoholism to sobriety with Brevik and Jeff. Guys, every week I do a meditation, and today I'm going to do a meditation that I think you will like. It's about gratitude. So if you're happy to join in, closing your eyes or lowering your gaze, just sitting with that for a moment as you roll your shoulders back and allow your palms to rest on your knees with the palms upwards, preparing to receive love, energy, and peace. And then bringing your attention to your breath, breathing in and breathing out through your nose. I am grateful for my life. I am grateful for my breath. I am grateful for all the love in my life within and around me. Breathe in this energy of gratitude. Breathe out and extend that energy out to the world. Breathe in. I'm grateful for my friends and family. Breathe out and extend this gratitude to all your loved ones. Breathe in as you feel gratitude for the people around you in this moment, like-hearted and like-minded. Breathe out and extend your gratitude to each person. Breathe in your gratitude for divine spiritual guidance, in whatever form that may be. Breathe out and extend that gratitude to the universe. Breathe in as you feel gratitude for this moment and your unique place in this moment. Breathe out your gratitude to the universe. Let yourself celebrate the gratitude, the joy, the abundance in your life. Breathe in the energy and essence of gratitude. And breathe out, sending that gratitude to the world. Take another deep breath in and release as you slowly and gently come back into your body, making your way back into the room and to my voice. And then gently opening your eyes. And you both look very peaceful. I feel like we can't even carry on with the rest of the conversation.
Oh. I almost didn't want to open my eyes.
Yeah. Gratitude is a very powerful thing to do, especially when you're going through tough times. I'm sure you'd have learned that on your courses as well, Jeff. Yeah. So yeah, always a gratitude meditation, always a good thing to do, because we always find that we have a lot more than we realize in life.
Yes.
Brevik, finally, I'm going to cast you away to a desert island as well for a little while. If there was one book you could take with you, what would it be?
I'd take Alchemy by Rory Sutherland.
Why?
Because it's not only a self-help book, but it's also a book that gives you tips on entrepreneurship as well, and generally just going about your day-to-day living in this life with fellow human beings and rediscovering yourself. And if I were to come out of this island, I'd want to come out a better person.
That's fantastic. Thank you. If there was one song you could play, what would it be?
It would be Beautiful Day by U2.
Why?
Because being on a desert island alone can get depressing. Mm-hmm. and the power of music goes without saying. If I listen to this song every day, I'd have a good mood. It happens to me every single time I hear the song.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, we'll definitely play that for you. And finally, if there was one luxury item you could take with you, what would it be?
On a desert island, I would imagine the one thing that would be a luxury would be water, fresh drinking water. And I saw this device on CES that captures the humidity in the air and transforms it into pure and clean drinking water. So, yeah.
Okay, very practical. I would be like, look, you have to provide the water. I'm taking my perfume and sunglasses. That's what I would do. Thank you so much. Thanks, Brevik. That's brilliant.
All right.
Thank you both, Jeff and Brevik. I'd like to present each of you with my book, Happiness Is It Simply a Mindset Shift, as a thank you for appearing on this show.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. To all my listeners, this book is now available at Textbook Center and Raffle Books in Kenya and Amazon worldwide. Please also follow me for more mental health tips, mindfulness meditations, and lots more on my social media at JustJoom, JustJhoom. Thank you both for being here and sharing your stories with us.
You're welcome.
It's been very, very, for me, very inspiring. Is there a final message you'd like to share with our listeners, Jeff, and how can people reach you?
Final message. That meditation that we have just gone through now can change your life. So find peaceful moments in your chaotic lives. And just know that life life, sometimes you can't control so many things. Concentrate on what you can control. Concentrate on what you can do. Concentrate on what is in your power. Thank you. You can reach me on Instagram.
Yep.
Jeff_Ribon_. Facebook, Jeff Githenji. Twitter, Kajama_. It's very funny.
So lots of ways to reach you.
Yeah. And email jeffreformed@gmail.com.
I love that. It's Jeff Reformed. That's very powerful. Thank you. Thanks so much, Jeff. And how about you, Brevik? Is there a final message and how can people reach you?
Well, my final message would be let's start treating alcohol addiction as the disease that it is. Let's not normalize it and tell the people that you can get sober if you want to. Pay attention to that person in your life who's drinking a lot. Maybe all they need is someone to listen to them. And how you can reach me, at @brevity_captured on Instagram and @simply_brevik on Twitter.
Okay. I like that. You use brevity, Brevik. Very clever. Thank you.
Yeah.
So to all my listeners, if you or someone you know is struggling with any mental health issues and alcoholism or drug abuse, please do seek professional help, whether that be a counselor or your doctor. You can also open up and share your feelings and mental health issues anonymously without fear of judgment on Bonga, www.bonga.or.ke. This is a safe space where you can start the healing process. To play out the show, Brevik's final song choice, which is Beautiful Day by U2. I'm Charlene Bala Lucas. I'm grateful to all of you for your time today. Thank you for listening. And until next week, stay happy, be mindful.
Heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful. Of the leaving her mouth after the flood, all the colors came.